prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason coexist. I am Dave, and with me is Jeff, the pastor of Revolution Church.
That's right. Good morning. I'm glad to be here. Are you glad to be here?
I'm glad to be here.
All right, that's good. We're all glad to be here. So thanks for listening to the Truth Revolution show, and we are from Revolution Church. You can find us online at truthrevolution.tv. Thanks for listening, no matter what channel you're on, no matter what state you're listening in. If you're listening in Salina, we're just going to throw it out there at the very beginning. We're interested in you donating to the show. If you listen to us on, there's a number of different channels you can hear us on. If you listen to us on KSAL, we're looking for some more funding to be on that channel. So if that's a channel that you listen on or a channel you want us to stay on, contact us and let us know. All right, but today's show is about God's self-existence, otherwise known as
aseity.
That's right, aseity. God's aseity. So we're going to talk about his self-existence, what this means for his power. We're also going to answer Bible contradiction.
Right.
But we love logic here. We love the brain, and we think God and spirituality and the Bible don't conflict with wisdom.
Right. God gave you a brain. He expects you to use it.
That's right.
Some people just go on autopilot, and that is not right.
So, that you know, sometimes what we're talking about today is known as the horizontal cosmological argument, or the kalam. Something goes kind of like this. Whatever has a beginning to its existence must have a cause. Now, does that mean that God has to have a beginning to his existence?
Well, as we just discussed about God's aseity, means... That word actually means self-caused or having no other cause outside of oneself.
Yeah, so God's self is not self-caused. Right. He has no cause.
Right.
Well, we're saying whatever has a beginning must have a cause, right? God didn't have a beginning. He doesn't need a cause. But whatever does have a beginning needs a cause, just like Dave.
Right.
You began to exist.
I did.
You had a cause.
Let's please not talk about that.
You don't want to talk about my dad?
I'm going to be scarred for life.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you have a reason to exist. Right. It just means something caused you to exist,
right.
Like a... apple tree causes apples to exist. Okay, so everything that had a beginning had a cause, and the universe began to exist.
Right. This is typical science. The Big
That's
Bang.
Right. The Big Bang. Yep. And so we know there was a point where our universe wasn't, and then it was. So the universe has a cause,
right.
And we would call that a creator.
Right.
And some people say, well, what about a multiverse? Couldn't a different universe have caused ours to exist? Well, then you're just pushing the problem back one level.
Right.
Right. Well, then what caused that universe to exist?
Right. And we would say the same thing. God.
God. Mm-hmm. So there was some sort of non-created being who created this universe.
Right.
And so that's the kalam cosmological argument. But we're gonna slip into this in a little bit different of an angle today. One time, my whole family was sick with a flu.
Right.
I don't know if you remember this. It was a few years ago. There were seven of us in our family. I got five kids. And all of us were home sick with the flu. We were watching church online. And we had there was a guest preacher there that day because we were all sick. And so we were watching it on TV, all of us. And the guest preacher, I think it was his name was Ron, he started praying, you know, and God helped that people, family, help them to get well. And about 5 seconds goes by, and then my boy JJ goes, "We're not well." He's like just throwing that out there.
Right.
So here's a good question: why didn't we get healed right then? Like, why didn't God heal us? And that, you know, God has power, right? 1 Corinthians 6:4.
Right. It says, "By His power raised the Lord from the dead, and He raised us also."
Yeah, by His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us too. Yes. So God has power to raise people from the dead. Certainly. He has power to heal people from the flu. He's great and powerful. But, you know, why didn't God heal us? Why didn't God heal Bo Jackson? Why didn't God... I mean, that would have been pretty sweet.
Yeah, can you imagine the career?
Yeah, except he played for the Raiders. That was a mistake. But anyway, the answer is there are answers for this. Okay. Today, instead of showing exactly what the answer that is, because we've done that on other shows.
Right.
We've talked about the existence of evil and problems in the world. But today, instead of giving the exact answer, we want to discuss what the answer is not.
Okay.
We want to discuss what the answer is not. There are some popular theologies today that take stories like this and they say, why did this happen? Why didn't God stop it? The answer is God couldn't. God couldn't stop it. God was too limited to fix Bo Jackson or me or my family and people to subscribe to some sort of form of, we can call it finite Godism, like God's limited in some, right, some big capacity. Some people are open theists. Dave, you want to give a definition of open theism?
Open theism is basically the belief that God knows all possible outcomes and of the future, but not those of which will come to pass. Basically, he knows everything that may happen, mm-hmm, just not the exact path that history will take.
That's right. So Bo Jackson being injured may simply be one of those events that was in every possible future, so God, mm-hmm, couldn't have done anything about it.
Can I reach your buzzer, please?
You really want that buzzer? Yeah.
Thank you.
There is no world in which Bo Jackson was not going to get injured, and so God had no way to prevent that. This is open theism, right? God knows, mm-hmm, every possibility, but if something's not a possibility, he doesn't know that.
Right.
He doesn't know it, and he does, and God doesn't necessarily know which of those possibilities will become a reality. He just knows all the possibilities. Harold Kushner, who was a Jewish rabbi, he published a book about God's power and suffering in 1981. His son died at age 14. It was an awful, awful disease, terrible tragedy. And Kushner says it happened because God was bound by natural law and the will of men. Kushner says that God does not have the power to stop bad things from happening. He is limited. He literally cannot stop evil.
Mm.
So here's the problem. Tweaking God is limited, right? This is what we want to do is we don't want to say, and look, there are some people who really love God, really love Jesus, who are open theists, who really love Jesus, who are finite Godism people, whatever you call them. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to say they don't love God, but I do want to say that I don't agree with their view of God.
I don't either. And I don't think the Bible does either. I mean, because in very many places, the Bible does talk about God's infinites.
And this, let's read Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15.
All right. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'"
Okay, so God reveals his name, and his, mm-hmm, name is?
I am.
I am. Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting. His name is a description of his nature. God is. What is God like? Well, he just is. When we speak about the attributes of God, it's not like we're speaking about the attributes of us. I have brown hair, or as my kids point out, gray hair. Someday I may have no hair. I don't know. Our attributes can change.
Right.
God does not change. Just God is. What's Exodus 3:14 say? It
says, "God said to Moses, 'I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you.'"
I am who I am,
mm-hmm,
period. All right. There wasn't a baby fetus God who eventually grew up into great big God.
Right.
Now he's grandpa God. No, it's not that God is missing powers and he wishes he had them. No. God is God. He's always been God without limitation.
Yeah.
God will always be God.
It's that crazy cartoon or, you know, comic that everybody always draws God as a really old man sitting on a throne with white robes and a long white beard with white hair, and he's an old man.
Right. That's not
how it is.
No, that's not how it is. Look, I'm going to read another verse, but you have to get this in mind first. Okay, God says, "I am,"
right,
and that statement is true. He is, and it's always been true. It's never not been true that God is.
Right.
So with that in mind, read Revelation 4:8.
"Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come."
That's a great verse. God was. He was. Okay, let's say I give you a banana, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's your banana right there. I'd like you to start eating that banana.
All right.
Is it
I'll
good?
I'll pretend to eat it. It tastes pretty bland.
Okay, I'm sorry I got you a bad banana.
It's okay.
All right, where was this banana 10 years ago? It was not.
Well, it wasn't 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, the banana, if it could speak, could say, "I am right now."
Right.
Right, but it can't say "I am" in the same way as God, because just a few years ago it didn't even exist.
Right.
It wasn't even a twinkle in its banana mommy's eye. But God was.
Right.
Always what? Before time existed, God was.
Right.
Right. Psalm 92 says this.
Psalm 92, if I can find where it's
chapter 90, verse 2.
Oh, okay. There it is. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
Everlasting to everlasting. Mm-hmm.
Everlasting to everlasting. Basically, God is without beginning.
Nothing.
Nothing caused him. God exists beyond the end of eternity in either direction, past or future, and nothing brought him into existence. He just is.
He just is.
Right. You owe me credit.
From everlasting to everlasting. As far as you could possibly imagine,
right
down one end.
Even before the land, before time.
Before Petrie and Littlefoot and Sarah went on their epic journey, God was. All right, the banana had a beginning. The banana tree caused it, but not God. He just was. I know we're belaboring this point, but we have to let this sink in. Multiple scriptures tell us time and time again, God was. He is without limit from everlasting in one direction in the past to everlasting in the future. There is no time limit, no structure limit on God, period. Period.
Yeah.
Right? Revelation 4 says, the Lord God Almighty who was and is and is to come. Right. Where's that banana now?
It's gone.
It's gone.
I ate it.
You ate it. The banana has no more existence.
Right.
God was, God is, God is to come. Nothing will ever stop him from existing. Novation, yeah, he was a church father. He lived around 250 AD. Mm-hmm. He said this.
He said, God has no origin.
No origin. Think about that. Mm-hmm. No origin. And I'll add to that, God has no conclusion. No origin, no conclusion.
You know, it's crazy. I think I started thinking about this type of thing when I was probably like 9 or 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was difficult, you know, for a 9 or 10 year old kid to try and fathom, you know, and I still don't fathom it, but I understand the meaning of it.
You apprehend it. Yes. You don't comprehend it.
Right. Exactly.
I don't, you know, how does this to compare to people who say God is limited in some way? Mm. Well, either God just doesn't know the future or he just doesn't have enough power. Look, we know those statements are false because God's very existence is not one of limitations.
Right.
He existed from everlasting, everlasting, before you can even imagine, until everlasting.
Right. After you can even imagine.
After you can imagine.
Right.
There is nothing about that statement that we can say that has anything to do with any kind of limits of any kind at all, period. Like, there's no... the Bible doesn't describe him in terms of time. Right? It doesn't say, you know, God existed just before he created the world for approximately X number of years. It doesn't say anything like that. It just says, like, before the world, before the mountains, before anything, God was from everlasting.
Yes, and before God got too old, he decided to create the universe.
Yeah.
Right?
No. It was the last thing he did before he retired on the seventh day.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's not what it's saying, right? God is not limited. God is the one who invented limits.
Wow.
Wow. Will you say that again?
Yeah,
repeat
that
for me.
That's great. God invented limits.
God invented limits. That's a really good idea.
Right? So I should probably ask that he raise the limit between my home and my work so I can get there faster. No?
Actually, that's a really good idea.
That's a good idea. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
No, wow. Well, you could.
That's for safety's sake.
He could raise the speed limit and still allow you to drive safely.
Right.
I don't even like speed limits. Anyway, show's not over. We're going to discuss this, and we're going to continue on with God. And we're going to apply this to the problem of evil.
Right.
Does God have limits? So far, this show has basically said God has no limits, period.
Right.
Right. And you're like, okay, enough of that. I get it. God has no limits. All right. And we're gonna actually apply this to the cosmological argument. We're going to apply this to what this means for our knowledge about human events.
Amen.
For your life. What does it mean? And we're also going to answer Bible contradiction on the other side of this break. Dave, where do they need to go?
They need to go to truthrevolution.tv. You can get old shows. You can get our truth shots. We've got a lot of truth shots on there as well. And you can donate.
You can donate. All you got to do is visit there. You can get sent in with PayPal or a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can come into Revolution Church if you want to. Donate right there.
Right.
You can also come out to Revolution Church with your whole body. Dave, what's our dress code?
That's 1111 West South Street.
That's our address. Our dress code is anything.
Oh.
We'll be back
Sorry.
Right after this.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Is there grace in the Old Testament, or is it something new in the New Testament after Jesus?
Virtually every story in the Old Testament is proof of grace, actually.
The theological phrase is salvation history, a recounting of the many times God had mercy on Israel.
It's a very clear pattern that we see over and over and over.
And it goes something like this.
Step one, Israel forsakes God and breaks a command, especially worshiping other gods and rejecting the real God.
Step two, God gives Israel over to nations to harm it, take them captive, or ruin them.
Step three, Israel cries out to God, Yahweh, for deliverance from their situation. They ask for mercy.
Step four, God gives them mercy and delivers Israel from their enemies.
We see this over and over. Mercy's not new when Jesus comes. In fact, the whole point of the Old Testament laws was to help everyone understand.
You are not perfect. You need God's mercy.
So, mercy in the Old Testament? Absolutely.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than on the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. online at revo.church.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
online at revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Revolution! Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Ephesians 1:4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." We were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. But listen to the rest of this verse. It says, "In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." God chooses to describe his grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. Now God chooses words carefully. And Jewish theologians, including Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, believed that history from the beginning was moving towards a pinnacle mountaintop when God would redeem his people, that is Jesus Christ redeeming us. And all the climax of all history, physical, emotional, spiritual, is described as our adoption because of Jesus. Consider adoption today. God uses the word as the pinnacle of what he's done for you and me. And it can be the pinnacle of what you do for another human being in this world.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. We're talking about God's infinite today.
Yeah, almost.
Almost? Pretty much.
Well,
he's without limit.
His self-existence. Yeah. Well,
okay. Yes, we are talking about God's self-existence today. And inside of that is, you know, we've been talking about God's lack of limitations.
That's right. So. God is not limited. God is the one who invented limits.
Mm-hmm.
This is known as God's self-existence or his aseity. Is that, did I say it right?
Aseity?
Aseity. Whatever.
I guess it depends on what part of the country you're from.
I don't know. It's a. You think I should know how to pronounce this word. I got a master's degree. They didn't teach me how to
It's hanging right there on the wall.
They didn't teach me how to pronounce. They just taught me how to know. I can read it really well. Just say it wrong in my head. All right. So anyway, God's aseity or self-existence means that God came from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And is derived from, and by God came from nowhere, we don't mean he came from Salina. We mean that God came from nowhere, meaning there was no object, no location attached to his being. He came from nowhere. He is derived from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He was, and he is to come. Right? And it's very, very different than us.
Right.
And actually, the fact that we are created shows that God exists. Okay, because God is God, partly because he has no creator who created him.
Right.
He always was. If someone else created him, that being would be God.
Right. And God would just be kind of like a middle person.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
Mini God. Mm-hmm. He's not a mini God, though. He's very, very different than us. So the fact that we are created shows that God exists. Now, we've talked about the Kalam cosmological argument before. We have an awesome video. We're going to link to it on the website.
Okay.
We have an awesome video about the Kalam cosmological argument. Now I'm mispronouncing everything. And you really want to check this video out. It's about... Sam, was it 10 minutes long? It's about 10 minutes long, somewhere around there. And it's really, really a very good explanation of this deep philosophical concept. And it's a fun video to watch because you get to see people get hit by baseballs and stuff.
Right on.
So basically the logic goes something like this. Whatever has a beginning to its existence must have a cause.
Right.
As we said, God has no cause. He had no limit. He had no beginning. So God doesn't have to have a cause.
Right.
It's only the things that have a beginning to their existence that have to have a cause. Dave, what had a beginning?
The universe had a beginning.
The universe had a beginning. Mm-hmm. And so the universe had to have been caused. Right. Therefore, the universe has a cause, a creator. A creator.
Right.
The universe has a creator. There's no way around this. The universe just didn't pop into existence out of nowhere.
Right. Simply put, something outside the universe must have caused it to come to existence.
That's right. Now, we are desperately needy people. And our entire existence is dependent upon God. And we're going to come back to that thought in just a minute because we're going to go ahead and answer a Bible contradiction.
Okay.
Bible contradiction.
All right, let's call upon the name of the Lord.
Okay. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's look at Luke 12:10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven.
Oh.
Okay. However, still in the New Testament, Romans 10:13 says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the person that has this contradiction says, I used to agonize over these two. Because if you commit a sin that can never be forgiven, you burn in the lake of fire forever. No turning back. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
So nice what, monopoly.
Right. So what would happen if in the same sentence I said, dear Lord, between you and me, the Holy Ghost is kind of a jerk, but I'm calling on your name anyway, so save me, dude. Now, these two verses can't simultaneously be true. They cancel each other out. That's what he's saying.
So what would happen if you said that exact sentence? I think probably God would forgive you. See, that. The problem is the nature of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, the unforgivable sin.
Right.
We have to go with our cracked acronym, how you interpret Bible verses properly. The A stands for author's intention. What was the author's intention when they wrote that or when they communicated this, right? Paul in Romans, he says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's his intention? Is his intention to say that anyone who recites a script will be saved?
No.
No. His intention is to communicate anyone who really wants God, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, anyone who looks to God for his salvation will be saved. Jesus says, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Well, what's his intention? Is he trying to communicate, hey, there's one thing you can do, and even if you do it on accident, you're out of luck. Is that what he's trying to communicate?
No.
No, clearly not. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the continual rejection of the Holy Spirit's movement. Now, it's also, I did a sermon on this. We can add more to it. The Pharisees were taking Jesus' work, what he did, and they knew he was the Messiah. They knew he was from God because everything said he was.
Right.
They knew he was from God, and they saw miraculous works, and they attributed it to Satan. Ooh. And so when you know that God is doing a miraculous work and you don't care, you say that's the work of Satan instead, Jesus was saying you are dangerously close to committing blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is that heart that says, I don't want God. Maybe I'll say that what God has done was really from Satan because I don't really care. I don't like God. I don't want God.
Right.
And the life who does that all the way to the end, that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit when you do that through your whole life. So what is the author's intention in Luke? It's the person who doesn't want God who will not be forgiven.
Right.
What's the intention in Roman? It's the person who wants God who will be saved.
So would you say that God kind of basically is pushing towards forgiveness? If anybody would just accept it, I'm going to forgive no matter what you've done.
That's right. You cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit the same time you're asking God to forgive you. That's a different heart. You can't have two different hearts. You only have one mind and one intention. Mm-hmm. You can't reject God the same time you accept him. And so these verses are talking about either rejecting God and rejecting the Holy Spirit or accepting God's forgiveness and accepting God himself.
Amen.
And I mean, that, you know, really brings it down to you personally.
Right. Where's your heart?
Are you going to reject God or are you going to accept him? I mean, he's told us what to do. He's given us the choice of following Jesus or not. He's offered forgiveness for free. And some people just don't want it. Hey, listener, I hope you want it. But more than that, I hope you accept it.
Amen.
Hope you take what God has done and say, God, I accept your forgiveness. And Jesus, I will follow you. And you stop messing around and pretending like just because you listen to a radio show or just because you think about God every once in a while that God's going to be satisfied with that. No, you have to accept the forgiveness that Jesus gave. And then you have to become a follower of Jesus. Now, if you're ready to do that, that's awesome. But if not, and you continue to do that, then you will be unforgiven.
Yes.
But it's up to you. And that's the answer for Bible Contradiction today.
Bible Contradiction.
All right. So we can always be forgiven as long as we accept that.
Yeah, just don't wait too long. You don't know when you can live and die. All right, God has no origin, but we need to bring that back to ourselves, right? We are desperately needy people.
Mm-hmm.
Our entire existence is dependent upon God himself.
Right.
All right. I want you to contrast this with, okay, God needs nothing versus we are needy people.
Right.
All right, let's just say this a couple times. You say the God needs nothing part.
God needs nothing.
We are desperately needy.
God needs nothing.
We are desperately needy.
God needs absolutely nothing.
And we are absolutely needy. Okay, so I think we made the point, right? No limit can hold God. No limit has ever seized God. No restraint can be placed on God. But we have restraints. We have limits.
Mm-hmm.
Limits control us. Remember, God is the one who invented limits, and they only apply to us and the rest of creation.
Right.
But Jesus, who's the Son of God, claims this attribute for himself too. Jesus claims to not be created. Listen to this, John chapter 8, verses 56 to 59.
Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad.
You're not yet 50 years old, they said to him.
You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him. And you have seen Abraham? Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am.
Uh-oh, he said, I am.
At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds.
Right, Abraham was the father of the nation Israel.
Right.
Thousands of years before Jesus said that. And Jesus says, hey, I'm the father of Abraham. I know Abraham. And they're like, what? You're crazy. You're crazy. You don't know Abraham. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, before Abraham was born, I am.
Right.
Not I was or not I'm really old, but I am.
Right.
And what is that, Dave?
That means he was claiming deity. He was claiming to be God.
Exactly. Because I am is the title for God himself. And the way Jesus said it meant that he was claiming to be God.
Which is why they decided that they were going to pick up stones and stone him for blasphemy.
That's a pretty good indication that they knew he was claiming to be God.
Right.
They were going to murder him for it. They're going to kill him for blasphemy. Jesus claimed to be the I am God who existed before all other things. Mm. We should have seen how completely different God is than us. He is uncreated, and Jesus is uncreated. God was and is to come, and Jesus was and is to come.
Amen.
God was before all things and created all things, and Jesus was before all things.
Amen.
And created all things. When we talk about an all-powerful God who's worthy of our honor, who has no limits, we can talk about Jesus. That's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do with this information? Well, we got some practical things. I just want you to follow up on, guys. All right. And gals. Number one, right? Know that we had a beginning. And that is evidence that God exists. The very fact that we had a beginning, the universe had a beginning, proves that someone had to create it. But number two, whenever you hear theories that have to do with God being limited, be very skeptical.
Yes.
Be very skeptical. Now, we're not talking about logical limits. Like, well, can God make a circle square? Look, that's just wordplay, all right? That's not what we're talking about here.
Right.
We're talking about actually limitations. Number three.
Worship God as the one and only being who was always or who has always and who will always be.
That's right. And number four, believe in and trust God is more powerful than we could ever fathom.
Amen.
Because everything, even limits, come from him.
Wow.
So trust the one who even designed limits. And one of those limitations is our time on earth. You don't have forever to make right with God, so accept his forgiveness. Decide to be a follower of Jesus today.
Amen.
And come on out to Revolution Church.
We meet
at 9 and 11 every Sunday morning.
At 1111 West South Street.
That's right. And you might want to just double check our website to make sure you know what times that is. TruthRevolution.tv is our site. Our church is Revo.Church.
Amen.
That's online. www.revo.church. R-E-V-O.Church. We'd love to have you. Now let's try this again. What's the dress code?
Absolutely anything that you want to wear. T-shirts and tats.
Yes. I, you know, if you can wear it in public, you can wear it in our church.
There you go.
Appropriately. All right. God bless.